for this?
Hey there, and welcome to Chomp. Hey there, and welcome to Chomp Talk on AM 1220 KDOW. I'm Mike Petty. Chetan Chaudhary is unfortunately not able to join us tonight, so you have me and my other partner in crime, Doug Santana. Doug, how are you?
Dude, I haven't been this happy since they announced Ugly Betty was going off the air.
Amazing, isn't
it? This is a great night for all Sharks fans and for Sharks hockey, dude.
It is. We are still on the high. Game 2 versus the Detroit Red Wings only finished about an hour ago, a little bit more than an hour. And I'm still feeling some of the juice from being at the game. The tank was rocking tonight. We were there. We were cheering. We were high-fiving strangers.
I don't even know if we needed a car to get here. I think I could have run.
We could
just on pure adrenaline, dude.
It's amazing.
That was a great game, and I mean, stating the obvious, there's no better way that we could have started this playoff series than winning two really hard-fought games and going into Detroit up 2-0, where you know in Detroit anything can happen. But
that's right.
Sharks are in an outstanding position as we continue our quest for the Stanley Cup, dude.
And Joe Pavelski, again, the lead story. He's now scored 2 goals in 3 consecutive games. I heard on the post-game driving up here, the last time this happened was all the way back in 1992 by a little guy I like to call Mario Lemieux.
Who?
Yeah, I know. He's a little bit obscure in the hockey world, but...
Don't know him.
If you were a Penguins fan back in the late 80s, all the way up to maybe 2 years ago, you may have heard of Mario Lemieux. He had about 100,000 goals in
Does
the National
Hockey League. Does he have a video game? Is that guy?
I think so. Okay. I think so.
That's amazing company.
Yeah, it is. When your name is in the same sentence with Mario Lemieux about a playoff statistic, you got to feel pretty good about yourself. And Joe Pavelski is quickly probably number 2 or even an arguable number 1 in the current Conn Smythe conversation.
Of course.
With Sidney Crosby. So that's another great name to be in the same conversation with.
That hack.
Yeah, that guy can barely play.
Joe Pavelski is the hot hand.
He is.
And the Sharks are doing the smart thing, and they're feeding the hot hand whenever they get a chance. They're trying to get the puck on Joe Pavelski's stick, because it seems like when they do, magic happens, dude.
Absolutely. He had 8 shots in the third period, a new Sharks record for number of shots by a single player in any playoff period. 8 shots in the third. He was going for the hat trick. As we see a lot of times during the regular season, when you got 2 goals, everybody suddenly starts giving you the puck to give you that shot. Pavelski was certainly no exception tonight.
There's actually a new record because a Red Wings fan in front of us actually did 9 shots in the third period because he was so upset.
Yeah.
So that's the new playoff record.
That's the new record, but not the puck shooting variety of shots. We're talking about an adult beverage kind.
That's true.
But still an amazing performance. Joe Thornton with the game winner, his first playoff goal. What a way to get on the scoreboard in that way. Wow.
And a hard-fought goal. Ryan Clough's goal. Let's talk about that.
That's unbelievable goal. And a Pavelski assist, of course. Ryan Clough driving to the net as he's been doing this entire playoff year. And the puck's coming a little bit behind him from Pavelski. Pavelski holds up, does a little bit of delay on the boards, half boards, passes it into the slot. Clough sees it's going behind him, pivots, turns around backwards, catches the puck, and then shoots between his own legs and past Howard for a goal. Spectacular. Spectacular goal. That's the kind of stuff you practice and you mess around with when you're with your teammates, but you never really expect something like that's going to go in the net. And Clough just had the presence of mind, just get it on the net as quickly as possible.
Ryan Clough loves the playoffs, by the way.
Yes.
And this isn't the first time we've seen this sort of playoff behavior from him. We saw it back in 2008 in the Calgary series, you know, when he had 8 points in that series. He was the best Shark in that series until Jeremy Roenick came up huge with the Game 7 performance. But Ryan, and then he was non-existent last year against Anaheim, but it's so good to see this version of Ryan Clough.
Yes.
Because I think we're not alone in that we were a little down on Clough about midway through the year. We were even mentioning his name in terms of being trade bait in order to get the Sharks either a more experienced forward or a puck-moving defenseman. And I'm sure glad that didn't happen at this point.
Me too. Yeah, we'd be, if he was having these numbers with another team, we'd be eating some crow right now. But we're not eating crow, we're eating Clough. Ugh, bad pun, sorry. Anyway, Ryan Clough and Joe Pavelski, as you said, not really present last year. I guess they got that stuck in their craw and decided, you know, this is the year we're going to start performing. And Pavelski is quickly playing his way into a huge contract, probably, because he's going to be a restricted free agent after this year. But is that even something Doug Wilson, the general manager, is even thinking about right now?
No. I think everyone at the tank tonight would probably chip in $5 on the way out the door in order to help get him re-signed. No, that's a problem for later. Re-signing him and making a decision about who's going to be on the team next year is not something I think that's on his mind. But, you know, if there was any part of the plan where Pavelski might have been dangled at the draft or something for a first round pick, that plan has been put in the dumpster.
Yes, that's not happening now.
He is now the face of the franchise. He's got his own commercial on the NHL Network. Do you believe in miracles?
Yeah.
What if Little Joe didn't come up so big, dude?
That's right.
But speaking of big, we said before this series, and you know, a lot of people said this too, the Sharks could not beat the Red Wings without some production from their top line. Joe Thornton.
Game winner tonight.
3 points in the series. Danny Heatley, a very quiet 5 points.
Three assists
in this
tonight.
Series.
Yes.
So these guys who were almost non-factors in the Colorado series have been very present, very active. Heatley appears to be healthy. He's getting to the right spots on the ice. He's doing the work in the corners. Their partner in crime, Patrick Marleau, still, dude,
yes,
a little bit missing in action, and surprisingly had the most ice time of any Sharks forward tonight.
That was very surprising looking at the stats after the game, because he seems to be missing that top gear again. I almost want to say, is he hurt? I don't want to just throw out crazy speculation, but this is a radio show. I'm supposed to be speculating.
Speculate away, dude.
I will. He's a little banged up. There's something not right with Patrick Marleau. That top gear isn't there. He's not driving as hard into the corners. He made one power move tonight, and I was frankly shocked, because that's the first power move. Just gun it around a guy, put your hand out, block the stick check, all that kind of stuff that you're taught to do. He did it once tonight. That's the first time this year I think I've seen it. So
he's going to have to turn to that now, because if he does have some sort of injury, speculation, then we saw tonight there were a few times, there was even one on the penalty kill where he poked the puck ahead, and normally that would be a breakaway for Patrick Marleau. He couldn't even get that extra gear going. The best thing he did tonight, dude, was in the final minute of the game when he killed about 10 seconds on the boards, just stalling. He finally went into the corner and took some heat. I mean, Brad Stewart, you know, could have got arrested for some of the stuff that he was doing to Patrick Marleau there in the corner. I don't think they'll be going out to grab a beer tonight.
I don't think so.
But that was a huge play by Marleau
right.
in the game. Was that final minute stalling in there in the corners, dude. A really, really great play.
And another big storyline of this series, I know there's some controversy surrounding it. Certainly the special teams matchup is going in the Sharks' favor. Sharks now 4-for-16 on the power play. Very good 25%. Wings 1-for-9.
That's so surprising, because I feel like whenever they have the puck on the power play, that my life is going to end.
I think we counted on that one power play. I can't remember exactly which one it was tonight, but the Red Wings had full control of the puck for the first minute and 15 seconds. Like, the Sharks didn't even touch it. They maybe made some shots, and they get tipped to the corner. The Wings pick it up, cycle it back to the point, cross, center, dots you, goes around 8 people at once. It's crazy. I mean, these guys are just magicians. Their illusion is Pavel Datsyuk is Harry Potter with a hockey stick. I can't believe how adept he is at getting the puck around people.
It's the best 11.1% power play I've ever seen.
It is
almost comical sometimes, and I felt bad laughing, but they really were just... It was almost like the Globetrotters, watching them cycle and cycle and just do really whatever they wanted. And something that changed at the end of the game, which I really think had a huge impact when the Sharks ended up going on 4-on-4, they pressured the point and blocked a couple shots. And it seems like up until then, for 55 minutes, they were just laying off and letting Lidstrom, Rafalski, fire away, and Holmstrom stand right in front of Nabokov. We know that formula is going to equal doom. So why not pressure the point all the time, Mike?
Well, maybe because they have some pretty adept movers. Notice Brian Rafalski getting a goal in game one. Of course, the soon-to-be Hall of Famer Nick Lidstrom. Maybe not soon-to-be. He may be playing until he's 60 for all we know. But they have some pretty amazing puck handlers at the blue line. And getting those guys a bunch of open ice on the power play is a recipe for disaster. So the Sharks are playing it a little safe. I'm not so sure that's the right move. But as you said, they were pretty effective not playing that strategy late in the game.
Let me ask you something and see if you know the answer. How many points does Henrik Zetterberg have in this series?
Zero?
That's correct.
Yeah. He's been pretty invisible. He's had his chances, though. I definitely see him. Certainly nowhere as amazing as Datsyuk has been in this series. He really kind of carried the team in game one for them.
That's a remarkable stat.
That's right.
To have Zetterberg limited to no stat sheet production. It's a huge reason why the Sharks are winning this series. They've really keyed in on shutting them down. And while I think Datsyuk has 4 points, I think, or at least three, keeping Zetterberg off the board and then, you know, seeing that, you know, Thornton and Heatley and Marlowe have 9 points and Datsyuk and Zetterberg have 4.
Yeah.
That's good news, too.
That's really good news. That's really good news. And, you know, not a whole lot of changes to the lineups here tonight. We saw Justin Williams in instead of Patrick Eves. I'm not so sure that was a big deal. Williams only had 8 minutes. And we saw pretty much the same lineup, but it's been working for the Sharks, right? could we possibly be happier than we are right now?
No. This is, I'd like to say that I would have fully expected this to happen, but I defy any Sharks fan to say that they did.
All right. Well, call us. Talk about the game. 1-800-516-1220. We'll be back here with Chomp Talk on AM 1220 KDOW.
If you're chomping at the bit to talk about the Sharks, join in the conversation now at 800-516-1220.
Yeah, I'm just like everybody else. I'm extremely frugal with my money. You know, you gotta be in this economy.
And that's why I joined the gang, Phil's Gang. Plus, you know, I listen to Phil Grandy.
Every day on the radio or online at philsgang.com. And because I'm a Phil's Gang member,
I know Phil has given me correct information. In this market, I need to trade successfully and turn profits by reading a chart.
But what I really like is Phil's new webpage. All the daily information is archived.
So if I'm in meetings or at the girls' soccer game, I can still catch up on all of Phil's stock picks, trading classes, and daily alerts.
For only $39.95 a month, it only made sense for me to become a Phil's Gang member and take control of my future, my money.
And you should too. Go to philsgang.com. That's philsgang.com. And find out what Wall Street doesn't want you to know.
Catch Phil's Gang with your host, Phil Grandy, Monday through Friday, right here on the Off the Wall Street Radio Network.
What does it take to become financially independent? Hi, this is Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. Financial independence does not necessarily mean that you don't work anymore. It means you don't have to work. On InvestTalk, every day, we work to provide you with the information you need to make the kind of decisions that move you closer to your financial independence. I invite you to join us each weekday afternoon, 4 to 5, right here on AM 1220, Business Radio KDOW.
Chomping down on morsels of goodness. It's Chomp Talk. Here on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back to Chomp Talk on AM 1220 KDOW. I'm Mike Petty. That's Doug Santana over there.
Dude,
it's a good night. Sharks fans, we want to hear from you. 1-800-516-1220. Call in. Talk about, well, there's not a whole lot of issues facing the Sharks right now. They're up to nothing. What are the keys to Game 3? Let us know. Who's performing, not performing for the Sharks? What do you want to see different in this series? What do you like? What do you not like?
I'm not liking the performance of Alexei Semenov in this series.
Well, luckily for us, he's not actually playing.
This is a good thing.
I suppose it is.
Do you notice that Jay Leach comes out and takes the pregame skate?
Well, you got to stay sharp. You know, there could be a little bit of injury running around. We see Nicholas Wallin still technically out.
Do you think that's a fake out? Do you think Babcock's sitting back there and going, "Oh, I wonder, are they going to put Jay Leach in?"
I don't know if that's actually crossing his mind, but, you know, this is the time of year where you have about 10 healthy scratches. Jay Leach is one of them. Nicholas Wallin, a little surprising he's not in. You know, let's talk about Nicholas Vahlin here. He was a trade deadline acquisition, played down the stretch instead of Jason Demers, who is now in the lineup every single night. Now what do we do? Is it Vahlin? Do we want to mess with this success at all? Do we just ride it out? Or could we see maybe a better matchup with Tomas Holmstrom, who's been standing in the crease all night?
Yeah, we've been talking about that in terms of Vahlin perhaps being an extra big body, maybe someone who could be a little bit more effective than Huskins in terms of getting Holmstrom out from in front of the net. So I'm thinking it's possible that we could see Vahlin over Huskins, but not Demers, dude. We need Demers in the lineup for his puck-moving skills.
I agree. Let's go to the phones. We got James in San Jose. James, welcome to Chomp Talk.
Hey, thank you. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing great, James. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just want to let you know that Ghost Sharks and Ryan Clough, that had to be the best shot I've ever seen him do in a playoff series game.
Pretty amazing goal, wasn't it? Wow, yeah, that was pretty impressive, I have to say.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say I like listening to you guys, and I want to give a shout-out to Doug, and you guys are amazing.
Thanks. Hey, James, do you think if you could try that shot 100 times, do you think you could score?
Me personally, probably not. I have dreamt about it. Actually, I quickly fell asleep, and then I think I can make it happen in my dreams. But other than that, that's impossible. It was just a great shot.
James, we appreciate the call. Go Sharks. Thanks for calling in.
Go Sharks. Talk to you guys later.
All right.
Thank you.
See ya. That's the kind of fan call I like. He likes us. He likes the Sharks. No complaints. 1-800-516-1220.
It's almost like we had him on the payroll. Dude, I have a question for you.
Yes?
The Sharks are playing real good right now, but in terms of in this series, if you could pick any one Shark from rosters past that you would want on this team to help us win the last two games and move to the conference finals, who'd you pick?
I'm going to go with Nico Dimitrakos.
That was mine. Dude.
I always steal your good ideas, don't I?
Dude, who's it going to be?
Man.
You can go all the way back to the times of Rob Goudreau.
And Gaetan Duchesne.
You could go all the way back, dude. Or you could just go even as recent as someone like Craig Rivet. Who's it going to be? And who would you take out and to replace him? Ooh, wrinkle.
Ooh,
wrinkle to the question.
That's the wrinkle. You know, I would go, I might go with Igor Larionov.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because that would double sting.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
That's a former Red Wing and a former Shark, and you bring him in to take them out. I like your style.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, as much as I like Scott Nickel and he's doing all the things right, I think Igor Larionov is going to be a little bit more effective. Assuming Igor Larionov is not, you know, 50 years old as he is right now, but he's back in his prime. But, you know, he's a centerman, and you want him to take draws, and you want him to play the center position. So I don't know if Larionov would be as effective on the wing. So that would be my choice. Dude, what do you got?
I'm going to go with a player who I used to have his name on the back of a jersey. I'm going to say Ulf Dahlin.
Ulf Dahlin?
Yes, because Ulf Dahlin was huge in the playoffs, dude. He had 11 playoff goals in two seasons with the Sharks in 25 games between 93 and 95.
There you go.
And the guy was the master of work in the corners. I mean, that guy could keep possession. We saw how important that was tonight. It really was a turning point in the game at the end where the Sharks were able to kill some time. Ulf Dahlin could really, really pinch in on that type of effort, dude. You got to love Ulf.
Ulf Dahlin. Yeah. Good call, dude. Isn't he in the league? I think he's an assistant for Dallas last time I checked.
It's possible. Maybe we should give him a call.
We should.
We should get him on the line. Hey, Ulf.
You know.
What you doing? Good job with that Sean Avery signing.
Yeah, that wasn't Ulf Dahlin, dude.
You don't know that.
I don't think Ulf Dahlin had a say in whether they should sign Sean Avery or not. Although he did call into the show a couple times.
This is true.
Well, the key to the Sharks' success have been twofold, in my opinion. One, we talked about last segment. Special teams battle. The Sharks are clearly winning. They're also drawing more penalties, which is very, very important. Now, the officiating tonight, little on, little off. I would say that luckily it was even. You don't want to hear people crying about the calls. You know, it gets really annoying to do that. I didn't agree with all the calls, but I can't say that they were very one-sided. There was a call against Todd Bertuzzi that I thought, a holding call against Todd Bertuzzi that I did not get. I didn't think that was a call at all. And then the Danny Heatley one was possibly the most egregious on the other side, where he clearly got checked into the goaltender and got a goaltender interference call.
Right, and there was an interference on Murray that was pretty questionable too. But it was pretty even. So in terms of messing up, they messed up equally.
Yes.
Which is all that you could ask for. And and who doesn't like hearing Kevin Pollak step up in front of the scorekeeper and say, 2 minutes for holding the stick?
I definitely think that's a very difficult job to do, and that should take all of your attention. But still, I wish the NHL would just chip in a little bit of money for voice lessons. Just a little bit.
What if they did a voiceover for him?
Yeah, like a James Earl Jones voiceover, or Barry White or something. Hey, baby, 2 minutes.
2 minutes for...
cross chicken.
Cross chicken. That would take the family element right out of the game.
It would. But Kevin Pollak would sound a little bit more tough.
Some more oomph.
Yeah, a little more oomph.
He needs to stand in front of the net. He needs to go to the corners.
Yes.
Is Kevin Pollak the Patrick Morrow of refereeing?
Dude.
Maybe he's hurt.
Dude, that's just pure speculation on our part. We don't know anything about a Patrick Marleau injury.
I was talking about Kevin Pollak.
Oh, you thought Kevin Pollak
was
hurt.
By the way, Kevin Pollak, great in The Usual Suspects.
Yes.
Great.
He certainly was. He looks a lot different now.
He does. Dude, going back to the power play and the special teams, I still find it to be a baffling stat that the Red Wings are 1-for-9 on the power play, when it certainly seems like they've been able to do whatever they want. If you're McClellan, do you just continue to ride that out in terms of what your plan is coaching-wise, or would you make any adjustment to try and temper the ice capades that's happening out there? Are you just happy to let them skate around?
Well, I don't have in front of me power play shots, and I'm sure they break down all the power plays with video and so forth. But I think that the general idea is you can look so great on the power play and you can pass around. You can look like the Globetrotters, like you said. And I think Tom McClellan actually earlier in the year used that very term in describing the Sharks power play to a certain extent. Oh, they're passing it around. They're moving the puck like crazy. But if you're not actually creating scoring chances, if you're not, they're getting traffic in front of Nabokov, but if you're not using that traffic to shield shots, then what's the point in passing it around and screening Nabokov? You have to get the puck to the net in order for the puck to go in. And if it's just Datsyuk putting on a little show, hey, the Sharks might as well just stand back, let him do it. Give him all the time he wants. If he's not going to shoot, then vaya con Dios with that.
Wouldn't they have to raise ticket prices? Because the ice capace is pretty expensive. Yeah. What if the Red Wings power play, they're skating around, and then Pocahontas skates out, and then like a bunch of fish?
Yeah, it's like High School Musical too.
It is. It's kind of like watching Disney on Ice.
Yeah, High School on Ice, you know, doing the split leap and everything. Scott Hamilton comes out. Pretty amazing.
Awesome. See Henrik Zetterberg as Ursula in... Disney on Ice.
It is a very mesmerizing power play. Not unlike the ice capades.
If you're Mike Babcock, right now you're probably on the plane right now complaining and whining, because he's good at that.
Right.
What's the deal with calling out Setoguchi in the media for the, what he called it, a dive in game one, and said, you know, you're from Western Canada, you know, or Western Ontario, I think he said, which, you know, Babcock also is from Ontario. Yeah, don't do that. You're from Western Ontario. I mean,
well,
you know.
Yeah, well, I think actually Setoguchi is from Alberta, but yeah, I don't understand. I mean, I can't call that a racist remark. I mean, how is it regionist? I mean, how do you characterize a remark like that? I mean, certainly, but isn't there a perceived slight against all people not from Western Canada saying, oh, those people, divers, you know, Western Canada kids, no, can't dive.
Well, I think he was saying, you're Canadian, you should be tougher than that.
I suppose.
Because Canadians are known for their toughness.
I certainly can't bring to mind a diving call against Setoguchi ever in his career. No. I don't think he has that perception around the league as being a diver.
Unless, you know, it's Mike Ribeiro wearing a Setoguchi mask.
True.
Which
very
true.
Be.
It could be.
You never know.
You're Babcock tonight and you're flying back, you've had a lovely three or four evenings here in San Jose. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've gone to Tunes.
Yes.
Several times. Original Joe's. Probably went to the Winchester Mystery House.
Why not?
You're flying back. What do you do if you're the Red Wings in order to try and adjust and win this series, because they have an uphill battle? This series is not over.
Oh, no.
We certainly know that.
As happy as we are, Sharks fans, do not get too confident here. I hate to pull out this stat because it's been a very happy show so far, but I looked up some stats here. The Sharks are 3-1 in series where they have gone up 2-0. In the franchise history, there's only been four series where the Sharks have won the
That's
first two
good
games.
News. That's good news.
The bad news is the very most recent series where that happened, they lost in six games.
Oh, that was the one to Edmonton.
That's correct.
That one hurt a little
bit. In 2006. Yeah, that one stung a wee bit. So we can't get too complacent here. Joe Louis Arena is a very difficult place to play. The Sharks have a horrible record there. I don't want to bring that stat up because I don't want to bring everybody down. But the point is that the Sharks need to keep their eye on the ball here. Let's win a third game. Let's win a fourth game. You can't take your foot off the gas because I'm sure, as you said, Babcock is going to make some adjustments here for game three.
There's no doubt that this is not your mother's Sharks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is not the Sharks that have been playing and disappointing fans for the last several years, and especially last year. You know, this is not the same team. They have a little bit more heart. They seem to come up much bigger in big games. And I think that's why you have to have a pretty good feeling and be fairly confident as Sharks fans that the Sharks are going to be able to go in to Joe Louis and win one game there. But game three, it could be the best effort we're going to see from both these teams because that's the pivotal game here.
Absolutely.
That's either the first nail in the coffin, Sharks are going to Home Depot to soon finish you off.
Right.
Or the Red Wings are going to have a new life.
Absolutely true. You're listening to Chomp Talk, AM 1220 KDOW. I'm Mike Petty. That's Doug Santana. Call into the show. Get in on it.
We'd love to talk to you.
1-800-516-1220. We're breaking down Red Wings. Talk about all NHL series. There's four series going on. All of them are great. All of them are close. Except for the Vancouver series where Vancouver just wiped the floor with Chicago the other night. Does that make you happy? A little bit?
Yes. Because I've said from the beginning of the year that the Chicago Blackhawks offended the hockey gods. At the beginning of the year, you know, they slighted Havlat. They went after and gave Hossa a 32-year deal or whatever they gave him.
Right.
And then Hossa promptly got hurt, and then they had a rash of injuries. They have mediocre goaltending, which has been on full display.
That's a charitable way of putting it.
In three games, you know, Niemi's either been great, he shut out the Preds twice, or, which is not like something to go like post on your Facebook status.
Right.
I shut out the Preds.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
I stopped Steve Sullivan. His back hurt.
And then your mom posts, I love you. You know, that was a great game. And everybody goes, meh.
Niemi got pulled. He got pulled against Vancouver. And they've got a little bit of splaining to do. Because
yeah. And they got worked in game one.
They've got a problem. I think that they've got a real problem in the series. And I certainly hope that you know, the series isn't going to be a wipeout because that's not going to be good news for the Sharks, because I think we're going to be kidding ourselves if we think this is going to be. I heard someone walking out of the tank going, oh, it's going to be great when we sweep them. I want to turn around and slap them.
Yeah.
Go, that's not.
Have you never watched hockey before? Yeah,
that is
sir.
Not going to happen.
Yes.
The best case scenario we can hope for is that maybe we're going to be able to end it next Saturday.
Right.
Game five. That would be amazing.
That would be the best. I mean, the Sharks winning two in Joe Louis, I want to believe that it can happen, but as a practical matter, you're right. I wish, you know, the best possible scenario for the Sharks is we get to watch a possible elimination game next Saturday at the tank. That would be something. That would be very cathartic for Sharks fans, don't you think? I mean, this is a team that we haven't beaten in the playoffs since 1994 in that fateful series with Jamie Baker and all that stuff, that upstart 1-8 matchup with, you know, Makarov and Larionov and all these guys that started the franchise. And then since then, there's been a complete beatdown in 96 or 97 where the Red Wings scored six goals in every game. And then
six goals?
It was 6-0, 6-2, 6-2, 6-2. Sweep.
What?
Yes.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Not anyone's favorite series, I think, as a Sharks fan. And then, of course, the other series a few years back where there was that overtime thing and the missed play late in the game and they tied it, won in overtime and went on to lose. Ugh. That just brings up some bad memories. I can only imagine the relief that would happen if the Sharks ended up winning this series, but there's a long way to go.
Let me give you some good memories right now.
Okay.
Do you know who it has the best goals against in the NHL in the playoffs?
It's got to be Nabby, right?
Nabby, 1.93.
Nice.
1.93.
That's right.
Really fantastic. And he's got the best save percentage of any active goalie in the playoffs right now in the West at 0.919.
Okay.
So that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And you look at Jimmy Howard's faced 226 shots in the playoffs. Nabby's faced 158.
Mm-hmm.
So the workload is certainly different. But if you're Babcock, is it even a thought in your giant head that has lovely hair?
Yes.
That you might turn to Chris Osgood at some point in the series? Dude, is Babcock going to even consider it?
I don't think so. Osgood is not, I don't have the stat in front of me, but he hasn't played in months, I want to say. I can't even remember the last time he played. Maybe in relief, but I don't think he's started a game in a long time. They've cast their lot with Jimmy Howard, who, I might add, is a finalist for Rookie of the Year. This guy is no slouch. It's not like we're dealing with some guy off the street here. He was drafted by the Wings a long time ago. He's been really, coddled. I don't know if coddled is the right word, but he's certainly been in the minors a while, waiting to step in. He's finally got his chance. He sees the opportunity this year, and he's played pretty well. In the playoffs, maybe not so much. I think at least, certainly there was a goal in the first game that I was surprised went in. There was a goal tonight. I was surprised it went in. So, you know, maybe Jimmy Howard isn't exactly the second coming of Dominic Hasek here, but I think they're going to stick with him, barring some collapse of epic proportions.
Do you know that since March, Chris Osgood has played 87 minutes of hockey? 87 minutes of hockey, and he's allowed 6 goals.
Oh, man.
So, on second thought, I'm thinking that, you know, they...
Maybe not.
But they may call Manny Legacy
right
before they bring in Chris Osgood. The clock has maybe ticked past, and maybe he'll be playing for the Chicago Wolves next year.
Didn't Tim Cheveldae play for the Wings way back when? Maybe Tim Cheveldae's on speed dial.
Could be. Hello, Dominic Hasek. I thought I heard that somewhere that he won the, you know, Czechoslovakian adult beer league championship or wherever it was he was playing. I thought I heard someone talking about that on NHL Live or something. And, you know, speaking of NHL Live, I think we're both sort of chopping at the bit a little bit. We don't want to certainly go jump ahead of ourselves, but
right
on our podcast at dudesonhockey.com, shameless plug.
There you go.
We've had EJ Raddick, our friend EJ Raddick from ESPN, on a couple times, and he called the Red Wings in 5.
Right. So
he's wrong.
He's already wrong.
So,
and as much as we like EJ, it's kind of fun to point out when he's really wrong.
So we're looking forward to hopefully being able to have him be very wrong. And maybe he'll even come on the radio show.
Well, assuming he doesn't listen to this radio show or the podcast.
I somehow think that's doubtful.
Yeah, I might go with that. That may or may not happen. We can call him on it if we ever get to talk to him again.
Yeah, EJ, if you're listening, give us a call at 1-800-516-1220.
I'm sure he's here.
We'd love to talk to you.
I'm sure he doesn't have things going on. It is only the NHL playoffs, after all. I'm sure he's flying across country about, you know, twice a week trying
it's
to...
No big deal.
Yeah, not a big deal.
No big deal.
Yeah, Bob McKenzie, I'm sure, is listening too.
That's right.
I don't know if he called the Wings or not, though. I was actually, you know, speaking of that, I was a little surprised how many people actually picked the Sharks, because the Wings got so hot late in the year. They had so many injuries throughout. They come in. Maybe it's not the best series against Phoenix, I admit it. But the Phoenix is a very frustrating team to play against. They play the trap. You know, Dave Tippett just throws basically roadblocks out there, and people have to skate over and around gigantic pits in the ice. But still, they're the defending champions in terms of the Sharks matchup. You know, they've been to the Cup Finals 2 years in a row. Are you a little surprised that so many people picked the Sharks to win?
Yes. Absolutely. Because I would, if I had lots of money, which I don't, but if I did, and
what,
I was
the radio show's not paying you as well as me,
and I was in Vegas and I had the opportunity to bet on the Sharks in the series, I don't think I would.
Yeah.
Because, not that I don't believe they can win, and obviously they are winning, and you know, everything's looking, like sunshines and applesauce.
Yes.
Just made that up.
Applesauce.
I don't know. I like applesauce.
Me too.
Delicious. But I wouldn't have put money on it.
Right.
Certainly not.
And I think it was about even money. I don't know what the line exactly is, but it was very close to even money both ways. It's not like the Sharks were a favorite. Maybe they were a very tiny favorite, and the Wings were even money or something like that. But and it's certainly not playing out that way so far by the 2-0 margin in terms of games. But each and every game, there's been a lot of action, and a lot of moments where I thought the game was definitely in doubt. The Sharks, you know, both games, although they both ended 4-3, maybe could not have been more different. Your first game, Sharks jump out, 3-0 lead, score 3 goals in 2.5 minutes or something, and then the Wings slowly chip away and the Sharks hold them off at the end. This game was a little bit different. Wings score first, Sharks take the lead, Wings retake the lead, and then the Sharks tie and then score with only a few minutes left in order to win. So it's great to see the Sharks win in two completely different ways and come from behind especially.
Yeah, that's been a theme for this playoffs, is being able to come from behind, being able to overcome adversity. And in some ways, the games have been very similar, where the Sharks have clearly won the first and third periods and the Red Wings have dominated the second period.
That's true.
So if we can keep them from scoring 70 goals in the second period, we got a good thing going here, dude. We got a good thing going.
I think you're right. Well, we're talking Sharks on Chomp Talk, AM 1220 KDOW. We're coming back after this break. Finish off the show. Call us, 1-800-516-1220. You're listening to Chomp Talk on AM 1220 KDOW.
Chomping down on morsels of goodness. It's Chomp Talk here on AM 1220 KDOW.
Homeowners, how would you like to receive a $1,500 tax credit and save up to $465 a year on high energy bills?
Hella Windows wants to show you how for free.
It's time to replace those drafty, sticky, outdated windows.
Hella Windows makes window and door replacement easy every step of the way.
You'll enjoy informative, no-pressure shopping, free expert advice, and a free in-home consultation. Plus, we handle everything for you.
Save money on your utility bills. Make your home look beautiful and get a $1,500 tax credit at the same time.
Call for a free, no-pressure, in-home consultation with a Pella Window expert.
Ask about the limited-time $100 off season special and 0% financing when you call. Call 800-809-9204. That's 800-809-9204. Experience the Pella difference for yourself. Call for your free consultation now. 800-809-9204. That's 800-809-9204.
How do you turn your unused car, boat, or RV into a wise investment? Cars for Causes. Cars for Causes will take your vehicle and turn it into cash for your favorite nonprofit, and you get a tax receipt. What's your favorite organization? Your church or synagogue? Your child's school? Or a local hospice that helped you care for a loved one? How about a national charity like Make-A-Wish or Alzheimer's Research? Everyone has a cause that's important to them. What's yours? Cars for Causes makes it easy for you to make a difference. Call 800-766-CARE. You make the call and they take care of the rest. How about that car or boat you've been intending to fix or fix up? Or that vehicle you keep intending to put on Craigslist? Call Cars for Causes, 800-766-CARE. Take that unused vehicle and turn it into a worthy investment to a cause that's important to you. Call Cars for Causes today, 800-766-CARE, 800-766-CARE.
If you're chomping at the bit to talk about the Sharks, join in the conversation now at 800-516-1220.
Welcome back to Chomp Talk, AM 1220 KDOW. We're talking about San Jose Sharks, NHL hockey. We're taking your calls. Deep voice guy just gave you the number. Call us now. We'll go to the phones right now. We got Kiona, or is it Kiana, from Carson City. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Great. I'm sorry. Did I get your name wrong? Is it Kiana or Kiona?
It's Kiana.
Thank you. Oh, see, Doug won the bet. I'm handing over money right now.
I knew it was that. I knew it.
In the break, we saw your name up there, and we had a difference of opinion how to pronounce it, and I just came up short.
Everybody does. Don't worry.
I'm sorry about that. What's on your mind?
Okay, so I was wondering, like, I just wanted to get your guys' opinion. Do you think with the, I mean, obviously they're scoring more, but with the Joe Marleau-Heatley line, that there's kind of a revival going on there somewhat, maybe?
Doug, I'm going to pass this to you. Top line revival?
Well, I actually thought the top line looked a lot better when the game started, when they had Logan Couture up there with Joe and Heater, I thought they were really effective, especially in that first shift.
Yeah.
It looked like we were going to score in the first 30 seconds, and we all got kind of giggly. You know, oh, here we come, you know. And,
yeah.
And then they clearly shifted gears, and I'm not sure if that was a strategy by McClellan to throw off Babcock that maybe, oh, I'm not going to play Marlowe with the top line. And, you know, as we said earlier, Marlowe had the most ice time. Do you think that that's something that's going to stick, or are they going to kind of be flipping this around throughout?
I kind of think so, although, like we said earlier in the show, Marlowe just doesn't look like himself, and I'm with you. I like the Logan Couture thing. He didn't even play 9 minutes in the game, although he started on the top line. So I definitely think Thornton and Healy have a revival. You got to keep those two guys together. They connected for a really great goal in game one. And now in game two, they both had multi-point games. Like to see that. So are you voting for Marlowe to stay on the top line, or do you like the so-called 3M line?
I actually don't. I'm not in favor of Marlowe being up there. I actually like a lot when Mitchell was on that top line. I'd like to see what Mitchell would do with Joe and Heatley.
Yeah.
I think that would be really interesting.
It's adding that element of speed to the line that I think clearly is missing right now with Patty. Doesn't have that extra gear. Couture and Mitchell bring that element of speed. Marlowe right now just isn't.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree. Well, thanks for the call, Kiana. Or Kiana. I'm sorry.
It's Kiana, dude. It's
dude,
Kiana.
I got it wrong again. I'm sorry. Thank you for calling in, and don't be a stranger.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
All right. Great. All right, dude. We got more calls. It's 1-800-516-1220. We got Rick Strauss on the board. He's going to take your calls. Call right now.
Let's bring her home.
We're still here. We got Chris. Chris from San Jose. Chris, how are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you guys for having me.
Of course.
I'm a big fan of yours. I listen to the podcast weekly. I was a part of your second fantasy hockey group.
Wow.
Country Club 40.
Ah, excellent.
Awesome.
That might have been my favorite name.
I went deep myself, but I was upset.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a problem.
I believe.
But I was just wondering, I started listening a little bit late, but I'm on Puck Daddy right now, and I'm seeing the baby shark eating a baby octopus.
Yeah.
On the ice tonight.
Yeah.
And I have to say that is fantastic.
Yeah, you know,
my buddies were talking about that recently.
It's a little bit tougher to find a shark. I guess someone threw a shark onto the ice after the Sharks' first goal tonight.
That's got
to
be expensive.
With a baby octopus in its mouth. Amazing.
That's a lot. You know, that takes a lot of doing.
That's an investment.
I mean, you got to have a pretty good arm.
You got to have an arm?
The ice as well.
You got to have an arm and a hookup with a seafood retailer. I mean, I don't understand how you do that, but you know, that's a pretty clutch gamer move there. I mean, dead animals on the ice. I think I read the Puck Daddy article too. I mean, are the Bruins going to start throwing dead bears onto the ice now? Is this a trend?
Oh, I certainly hope not. But I mean, I've seen some of the contraptions that these guys are walking to the Joe with the octopuses in their pants and things like that in plastic bags.
So many jokes, so little time.
Thinking of a shark in there. that seems like a bit of a stretch, but
I want to say this, Chris, that I did see Douglas Murray's jersey looked a little bulky right before that goal. Is it possible that he dropped that shark out there?
That would be pretty amazing.
It's quite possible. Number three, dropping sharks on the ice. it's nice to see Joe Pavelski out there coming up with these multi-goal games. But, man, I think I heard that Lemieux is the last guy to go three in a row with multi-goal. And that was in 94 or something
like
that.
Yeah, absolutely right. I think it was 92. But, right. And Mario Lemieux, Joe Pavelski in the same sentence, that's good times.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe Pavs will own the Sharks someday.
Is he going to be able to bail us out, though, while the first line goes ahead and wakes up from their slumber? I mean, if that can happen, I don't see a whole lot stopping us.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. But I think, you know, Joe Thornton's definitely played great, very well the last couple games, and Healy's had multi-point games too. I think, what do you have, 5 points in the series
He's got 5 points in the series so far. Joe's got three. So those guys are stepping up. You know, when we were talking with Kiana earlier about finding that partner for them on the third line, on the top line. Is it Marlowe? Is it Mitchell? Is it Couture? Chris, what would you do?
Yeah, I really like Mitchell. I love his speed, obviously. The guy's a madman out there. He's running around. He doesn't have that finishing touch, I think, that Marlowe provided when his speed was going and he was putting in the back of the net. You know, and you can say as much as you want to about Heatley, it seems like, but, you know, the guy needs to find Twine and that's simply not happening for him right now. So just waiting for things to happen. I mean, the Joe goal tonight was a little bit of craziness in the crease there. Ended up banking one in off of a rebound by Howard, which he seems to have quite the pinch on for, which is nice because watching Craig Anderson throw him into the corners all night long during the Avalanche series was not very much fun.
Absolutely true. He seemed to either swallow it or kick it 100 feet away.
Oh, I know. It was tough to watch, but, you know, hopefully we find a softness in Howard and, you know, maybe looking a little bit far ahead, but looking at the goaltenders that are going on in the other Western Conference series right now, you know, you got Niemi and you've got Luongo. Both of those guys, you know, you don't know what you're getting, basically. It's kind of the same thing when I thought about it. It's like Detroit and, you know, you had Brizgalov versus Howard, and then you've got Niemi versus Luongo. There's kind of a parity going on there, and we'll just see who comes up bigger, I guess.
Yeah, that's the question for sure, and it's going to be really interesting to see the Western Conference Final this year. It's regardless of who wins what, it's going to be a humdinger, no doubt.
Yep, no doubt.
Chris,
all right, thanks, guys.
All right, Chris, thanks for the call.
All
right, man.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, talk to you later. Yeah, well, Chris had some good points there. I appreciate him plugging our podcast, dudesonhockey.com. just to throw that in there.
Sly, dude.
I'm real tricky. But he's right. You know, the goaltenders, Roberto Luongo, supposedly this elite goaltender, you look at his playoff stats, they're not exactly as gaudy as his regular season stats. And this is a guy that, you know, was traded for a lot. And
Todd Bertuzzi.
Yeah. Well, it was a lot of the time. Todd Bertuzzi was maybe the best power forward in the game when he was traded to Florida.
But he came with a ton of baggage.
Yes.
That was a bad, bad trade, dude. It was Todd Bertuzzi. It was Brian Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a first. And I don't know who that first ended up being, but that's a bad trade.
Yeah.
That's not a good trade. That's got to go down in the top, one of the top 10 worst trades in recent NHL history. But something that you brought up when we were talking to Chris, doesn't matter whoever plays in the Western Conference Finals, it's going to be extremely entertaining.
Yeah.
The style has opened up.
Yes.
There's no Jacques Lemaire, Dave Tippett style of hockey still left to be played where the lanes are being clogged and there's no ice to be had. You know, there's tons of ice to be had in this series. Both teams are really gaining the zone nicely. So whoever we play, you've got to think that it plays into the Sharks' advantage, especially against Vancouver, who we have three wins against.
We have three wins against.
Against this season. If you look at the Eastern Conference, the Philly-Boston game was ugly, already we have another major injury with
yes.
Marco Sturm going out for the rest of the season. I feel so sorry for that guy.
Yeah.
It seems like
he is
so snake bit with injuries that you have to wonder how many more times can he keep coming back.
Yeah, and people remember he broke his leg in a particularly gruesome fashion when he was with the Sharks, going into the end board, snapping his leg in a really nasty sort of Joe Theismann-esque way.
And he missed a good portion of, I think it was last season, with another leg injury. So I think he tore his ACL, his MCL, his ATM. He tore everything he could, dude.
His WTF.
Yeah, it was not good news for Marco Sturm. And then the other series, if you watch the Penguins-Canadiens game this morning, it sure looked like an Avalanche-Sharks playoffs game to me.
Yeah, yeah. With Jaroslav Halak for the Montreal Canadiens coming up huge, making a ton of saves. Pittsburgh looking frustrated.
39 shots. They had 39-21. They outshot Montreal. They lost 3-1.
Yeah, exactly. It was almost exactly like the Colorado series. Like you said, Montreal got their chances and they buried each one, and Pittsburgh gets about 1,000 more chances and doesn't bury any.
So if you're a gambling man, and I know I've been to Vegas with you.
Yes, we've been.
You are one to occasionally play the odds.
I love the Keno.
What odds do you give the Canadians at pulling off another epic upset, dude?
Not good. I think Pittsburgh is much more like the Sharks are in the first round than Washington was. Pittsburgh, they've been there before. They've been to the Cup Finals the last 2 years. They know if they keep getting their chances that they're going to win games. And I don't think they're going to pull a major panic move here, despite losing Jordan Staal, who is a huge penalty killer for them, very strong centerman for them. Him being out or in or out or whatever the rumor is, he's probably going to miss a fair amount of time. I think Pittsburgh wins this series. I put the chance of Montreal winning the series at under 20%.
Okay, under 20%.
Yes.
Ah, that's not good. Especially, they've lost Andrei Markov. He went out in the first couple minutes of the first game.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, no Markov. So now they've got Marc-Andre Bergeron running around out there.
Right.
And he could be one of the worst even strength defensemen in the NHL.
Yeah.
Is that too strong, dude?
Well,
he's not
Jeff
good.
Jeff Finger. Do I want to go Jeff Finger?
Oh, dude.
I'm sorry.
Jeff Finger.
Well, they do have Josh Georges. You know, and
Josh Georges has been great.
Yeah, Josh Georges has been great. And back when he was on the Sharks, a lot of people said about Josh Georges, this guy can take a hit. Now, that seems like a bit of a backhanded compliment to me. But he's moved over to the Canadiens, came here in the Craig Rivet trade for this, I remember. And Josh Georges has really picked up his game. And I got to give the guy props. He's not, I guess he's a fair-sized guy. He's not a small person, but he's really playing some big minutes for them. He's playing very, very well. So Josh Georges is really, got to give the shout-out. Josh Georges, peeps, old Sharks, represent.
Bergeron, to be fair, dude. If I'm going to be fair, he's only a minus seven. But this is a guy, he got 34 points this year. He had 22 of them on the power play.
Oh, okay. 22. So he's like sort of the unknown Mike Green.
No, he's even more of a specialist than someone like Mike Green. But let me throw this your way.
Okay.
Bergeron in the playoffs, minus nine.
Oh. Wah, wah, wah.
Minus nine. Hey-o.
Sad trombone.
And now this guy is going to be playing major league minutes.
All right, so, well, there's a lot of series. You know, all the series are in doubt, right? I mean, even though Montreal's the eighth seed, could they knock off the Stanley Cup champions?
No.
Possible. It's 1-1.
No.
Okay, it's not possible. Well,
is this series over, dude?
The Shark series?
Shark series. Is it over? Should we pop?
No. Not by
champagne?
Not by a long shot.
Should we go streaking?
Well, we should do that anyway. But I don't know if the series is over.
No.
There's no way.
It's not over.
If the Sharks were up after playing two at Joe Louis Arena, then I'd feel a lot more confident than I do right now. Right now, I feel happy. I don't feel confident. I feel good, but not secure.
So if you could give any advice to our listeners and our Sharks fans about how to feel about this road trip, what should our expectations be?
Expectations be we go even, we win a game, lose a game, we're way ahead of the game. That's what we want. What we don't want to do is lose all the momentum and throw out like a huge, lay a big egg and not, you know, and get blown out at Joe Louis. We got to play the road style hockey that the Sharks were able to play against the Colorado Avalanche. Bang in the corners, play tough. You got to do it.
Don't get blown out.
That's right.
Do not get blown out. That's got to be the focus. We haven't seen that from the Sharks all playoffs. They have not laid an egg yet. And the Red Wings have lost 2 out of 3 at home.
That's right.
So I think the Sharks should definitely be focused on winning Game 3. Let's bring her home, dude.
Let's bring her home. Thanks for listening to Chomp Talk. This is AM 1220 KDOW.